Hi, I'm Casey, a follower of Jesus Christ in recovery for the effects of having no sexual integrity in my past. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." Many of us who have been through step studies know that they can lead us to dwell on the past, especially step four. Some of you may be working your step four now or getting prepared to. While step four can feel contrary to forgetting the former things, the reason we do step four and then step five is to clear all the junk out so we may move on from there. If you are unfamiliar with steps four and five, they read this way, respectively. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, and we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We may never actually forget the memories of our past, but I believe Isaiah 43:18 is urging us to forget that habit, forget the patterns, post a dead-end sign on the neural pathways in our brains that cause us to do the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Another scripture that complements this one is Romans 12:2, which tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewal is defined as the replacing or repair of something that is worn out, run down, or broken. Our old way of thinking, the former way of doing things, is worn out and broken. The way we renew our minds is to turn to God, read His word, and start doing what it tells us to. Let Him do His work in us. Paul talks about this in Philippians 3:13-14, when he says, "No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us." What is this race Paul is describing? He's talking about the Christian life of following Jesus, growing spiritually, and allowing Him to use us to reach others. This can't happen if we're wrapped up in the past and replaying our old mental tapes over and over. We must be open to what God has planned now and in the future if we're going to experience the joys of following Him. Certainly, our past has shaped who we are today, and it's important to understand that. Ideally, we have learned and grown from our past mistakes and experiences, but it is when we dwell there that this becomes a problem. So maybe it's been a while since you've done your fourth and fifth steps. Perhaps you're thinking, "Yeah, I've cleared out all my past junk, haven't I?" If you're unsure, here are some questions that can help you determine if you're still holding on to things from the past. Is there a loss in your life you have not dealt with, processed, or mourned? Has an old negative pattern from your past resurfaced? Have you discovered a past relationship where you still feel guilty or not forgiven? Are you continuing to blame someone else for the negative situations in your life? Who? Why? Do you need to make amends for anything in your past? Do you need to forgive anyone? Hebrews 12:1 reads, "Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us." This scripture paints a picture of the people before us who have faithfully lived a life following God, cheering us on as we make those daily choices that constitute a faithful, joy-filled life. Are you ready to let go of your past, to run the race set before you, and allow God to use you in the present?
Jesus, I'm having victory over internet porn. My name is Paul. Well, we've just heard about the past, and now I want to talk about the present. And as you think about things that you might want to lay down at the cross, here are a couple of questions that you might ask yourself. Number one, are you in denial about any issue or situation in your life? Are you holding back a part of you from God? Are you forgetting principle one, realize I'm not God? We need to constantly remind ourselves of this question. Even if you've been in Celebrate Recovery for years and you've conquered an addiction with the help of Jesus, it's so easy to replace that with something different. And if that's creeping into your life, you need to give it over to God. Don't deny it. Jeremiah 6:14 says, you can't heal a wound by saying that it's not there. Number two, are you involved in a behavior that would embarrass you if it was discovered? Give that to Jesus. Number three, what mask are you hiding behind? What secrets are you keeping? Have you traded addictions or compulsions? What are the issues that you're not even disclosing to your sponsor or your accountability partners? If you've done the inventory steps 4 and 5, you remember the freedom that you got when you opened up with your secrets to your sponsor. So why allow a secret to sneak back in your life and rob you of your freedom? One day, you're just keeping a secret, and the next day, the secret owns you. Number four, are you still allowing old family issues to control you? Do you find yourself saying, that's just how my dad would have acted, or I promised myself that I would never do that to my kids? And number five, how do you handle stress today? How does it affect your sleep? How does it affect what you eat or what you watch on TV or whether you can control your temper? You might ask people who are close to you to evaluate that. They may be more objective than you. So we're stuck in a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. The spirit is what connects us to God. The flesh is our bodies and our desires that lead us into hurts and habits and hang-ups. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. Galatians 5:24 and 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What does it mean to crucify the flesh? John W. Stott has this to say about crucifying the flesh. First, it's a mandatory sentence. No mercy, no pity, no slap on the hands, no time off for good behavior. Just crucify the flesh. Second, crucifixion is accompanied by intense pain. We all know the inner pain that we've had when we try to escape an addiction. 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. It's truly a war. Have you not felt that? Finally, crucifixion is decisive. The end result of crucifixion is death. We need to leave our hurts and our habits and leave them on the cross until they die. The cross is not a coat rack where you just take your habit down and try it on and put it on once in a while. Luke 9:23 says we are to take up our cross daily. So we're talking about the present, the now. The Serenity Prayer says, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Consider this. Today is all you have. Today is all you need. Today is all you can handle. And today you can make a commitment to crucify your hurts and habits at the cross.
My name is Bree. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm finding victory in setting healthy boundaries in my relationships, and I struggle greatly with anxiety and worry. If you're here tonight, you may be thinking, if I recover, then what? Or maybe you can't even imagine what that future may look like. Some of you may think, what happens when I give up my addiction? Who will I be when I change? When I give up my old hurt, habit, or hang up, then what? So many of us may think that our issues define us. They become our self-worth. And we can't imagine what life would be like if we changed, if those things didn't define us any longer. What will you do or who will you be without your substance of choice? Or without this person in your life that has defined so much of you? Maybe they're a spouse or a former spouse, a friend or a child that you've been holding on to far too tightly. Or maybe you've been enabling someone in a very dysfunctional relationship. What happens to that relationship when I change? Or maybe you're thinking, well, what happens when I change? Will this other person get mad at me? But God doesn't want you to stay frozen in an unhealthy relationship. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to do your part, and only you can control you. You may have been in your hurt, habit, or hang-up for so long that it has really become your identity. But don't tell me that worrying doesn't do any good. I know better. 90% of the time, my worries don't even come true. They never happen. Instead of worrying about the things that we cannot possibly do or control, we need to focus on what God can do. Because really, all worry is a form of not trusting God. My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Sometimes, even if our past and sometimes our present is extremely painful, and yet we still resist change because of the fear of the unknown. In our desperation, our depression, despair, we think that we don't deserve any better. I know I've thought that often. And then we often just shut down. We close our minds and we lose hope. But I'm here to tell you that there's hope in recovery. We find hope in Jesus, and he opens these doors that despair tries to keep closed. Hope discovers what can be done instead of grumbling about what can't be done. Throughout our lives, we will continue to encounter hurts and trials that we are powerless to change. But with God's help, we can be open to allow those trials to change us for the better. These trials make us and our future better, not bitter. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. You must be a new and different person." You may have been in recovery for a long time, and maybe you've hit a roadblock and you've stopped growing. You may feel depressed and empty, or like me, extremely anxious because something that you may fear in your future could happen. Some upcoming life change is going to happen. Maybe it's fearing the next step of faith that God is calling you to take. So number 3 on your handout says, fear of the future. What if there was one thing I could do for God and I knew I wouldn't fail? What would it be? Let me say that again. If there was one thing I could do for God and I knew I wouldn't fail, what would it be? What is it that God is calling you to do? It doesn't need to be this huge, massive thing. Maybe it is, but maybe it's something small, or maybe it's something medium. Are you resisting that? What are you not following through on because of your fear? Matthew 6:34 says, "So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." What is the next step God wants you to take in your recovery, perhaps as a leader, or maybe you're even new to recovery? What is the next step he wants you to do to help others for his glory? What is he asking you to do that requires that you step out of your comfort zone? And is it fear that's holding you back? That fear may be preventing you from being all God wants you to be. Casey spoke of Hebrews 12:1. Let me repeat it again. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down and holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Friends, this area of recovery is too important to each of us as individuals, to each of us, to our families, to others that need our love and support, to let the fear of the future stand in our way. With God's power, we need to face our fears and remember Hebrews 12:6. That is why we can say without doubt or fear, the Lord is my helper, and I am not afraid of anything that mere men can do to me. The handout asks you to identify the fears that are holding you back. What are the fears that are keeping you from trying? Are these old fears or new ones? If they are old, then there is something in your past that needs further work and disclosure. Bring them out into the open. Bring them into the light. And there's another area that may be holding you back. What are the costs? If I do this, what will it cost me? Maybe that cost is time. Giving up something to do what God has called you to do. Maybe that thing is money. I know it was a really big thing for me when God laid it on my heart to start tithing, and that was a big deal. So identify what the costs are of doing the one thing you could do for God if you knew you wouldn't fail. Another area that causes us to fear the future is change. What changes am I currently facing? Have you ever really met someone who truly enjoys change? It's human nature to resist change. We just talked about how we resist change even when our current situation can be pretty miserable. It does help to write about the change. It helps you to start to deal with the change. So list the positive and negative, the good and the bad ways that you can process change.